Well, good morning. Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell them Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Well, I was considering the opportunity to speak this weekend, the last Sunday of the year, and of course, I always appreciate the opportunity to do that. And whenever you're thinking about the last sermon of the year and moving into a new year, you always are thinking about how to communicate the importance of a new year, of a new thing, and the as we stand on the brink of a new year, you really want to communicate to people how important 2008 is. And so I was thinking, what would I title my message this morning? And I just began to deeply, of course, think about this. And so I thought about a couple of topics. I thought that I could speak on how to have a great 2008. I thought I could speak on don't be late in 2008. I thought maybe we could speak on in 2008 have a great mental state. But I decided instead to title the sermon Exit Right. And so if you have a bulletin, inside of it is an outline. If you just pulled out that outline, want to talk about how to exit correctly, how to exit right in 2008. As we do stand on the edge, on the precipice, and the precipice of the next year, how are we going to enter correctly? How are we going to move into this next year prepared in the right way? And I think that there are a number of things that we can do that. As we start this morning, I just want to sort of launch out of a verse in Deuteronomy 28, verse 6. And I'd like just to read it together just to kind of get us warmed up. So let's read this together out of Deuteronomy 28. It says, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Going out and coming in is a very important thing. The way that you leave a place sets you up for the way that you enter the next place. And it's very important to exit 2007 in the right way so that we are prepared for 2008. You know that when you leave your home to go on a trip, if you're going to be gone for a couple of days, there are certain things that you do in the house to prepare for your exit so that when you return, everything will be the way it should be. And so my wife has taught me this, you clean the house before you leave, right? Right, ladies? Because then when you come back, you don't have to clean the house, right? Because you're tired. And so you clean the house, and then you take the trash out. Now, why do you take the trash out? You take the trash out, of course, because if you don't, when you return, there is a special fragrance that greets you at the door. And so it's important to leave your house in the right way. You make sure that this stove is turned off and all the things are put away and all the doors are locked, and so that when you leave, you're able to relieve your mind of any worry or concern and, of course, avoid any unpleasant greetings when you return. Whenever you go to a social gathering, a family gathering, we've just been through Christmas, and Christmas, of course, with families is just such a joy all the time, of course, and there's always family members that are wonderful to be around, and then there's other family members that, you know, are wonderful to be around. And whenever you leave a gathering of friends and family, you always want to leave in the right way. There's a certain sort of protocol that you go through. And you make sure when you leave that you greet certain people, don't you? You make sure that you say goodbye to you, and you might make sure that you avoid some other people, depending on what the situation is, wherever you're at. But if you don't greet the right people, if you don't leave them right, letting them know that we love you, then the next time you see them, you hear about it. Because the way that you leave sets up your entrance the next time around. So we need to leave 2007 having done the right things. And I think there's four things in your outline that we can do to leave 2007 in the right way. That if we do these things, we will set ourselves up to come into 2008 the way that we want to. Number one is we need to reflect. We need to reflect. Everybody say reflect. 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 Reflection is a very important part of our life. When I look back on 2007 in the Cromwell household, we call ourselves the younger and better looking Cromwells for obvious reasons. And so when we leave 2007, as I think back on our year in the Cromwell household, I think about some wonderful things that happened this year. This year, at the beginning of the year in January, we welcomed in a new baby girl into our home. And that's just a joy and a wonder most of the time. And there's my oldest son lost his two front teeth this year. And it was exciting to see him lose these first teeth, and we're expecting, hopefully, he didn't get them for Christmas, the new ones, so we're expecting that the new ones will come in this coming year. We moved into a new house in 2007. We ran out of gas on the way to a vacation. Some great, great things that happened in 2007 in our house. Those are some of the highlights. Of course, there's other things that weren't so great that happened. Some of the lowlights in 2007. In 2007, I think about the fact that there's just maybe a couple too many times that the plastic in my wallet burned a hole and found its way to purchase items that we didn't really need. I discovered that I spent maybe just a few too many hours in front of the idiot box in 2007. You like that, huh? In 2007, there were too many times when Pastor Pillow and Brother Sheets won out. That I knew I needed to get out of bed. I needed to get up early. I needed to meet with God. I needed to get ready for the day. It's just too cold, and so I just communed with the brethren there in the bed for just a little too long. And so there's great things that happen in 2007, and there wasn't so great things that happened in 2007. But one of the things that we need to do is to reflect on our year. What was 2007 like for you? What were your successes and what were your failures? What were the good things and what were the bad things? What new ground did you move into? What old habits did you repeat? What was positive and what was negative in 2007? The practice of taking a moment and reflecting on the past is an important practice that we are reminded to do in the Scripture. It's something I think uniquely human. We don't see any of the animals being able to reflect on the past. But it's when we pause and take a moment, we consider, what did this year bring for us? What joys and what griefs? What challenges? We sort of step back and gain a new perspective. Look at 2 Corinthians 13:5. Paul reminds us, he says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." So you look back on 2007, what do you see? Do you see that your life is matching up with your belief system? Did you live 2007 the way that a Christ follower would live? In what areas were you successful in that? In what areas did you fall short? There's so many ways that we do fall short oftentimes. Are the words that you said words of love and grace and kindness, or were they other words? Were the ways that you acted, were they the ways that a follower of Christ would act? I like the way that Galatians 6 says it. It's in the Message translation. It doesn't mince any words. It just says this. It says, "Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given. And then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life." You are responsible for your life. You're not responsible for anyone else's life. If you're a parent of little kids, then there is a responsibility that goes there. But you are responsible for your life. Now, what are you making of your life? What did 2007 hold for you in terms of that responsibility? Did you carefully explore what God had for you, and did you walk in it, or what was it like? Think you're great? Don't. Think you're horrible? Don't. Just sober-mindedly consider what 2007 brought. One of the reasons we reflect is because it gives us a perspective, a larger perspective on the things that happened. If we never take a moment to pause and reflect, then all we really are able to consider is just the last big thing that happened. But when we step back for a moment and we consider the bigger picture, some other things come into view. I was thinking about this concept this week, and I came across a, a short story. During 1978, during the fireman strike in England, the British Army took over emergency firefighting. On January 14th, they were called out by an elderly lady in South London to retrieve her cat. They arrived with impressive haste, very cleverly and carefully rescued the cat and started to drive away. But the lady was so grateful, she invited the squad of heroes in for tea. Driving off later with fond farewells and warm waving of hands, they ran over the cat and killed it. That's how a year is, right? There's great points and great moments, and then there's not so great moments. I heard someone say recently that it is not experience that is the best teacher, it is reflected experience. And when we take a moment, it's only when we take a moment and we begin to go over in our minds what the year has held for us, do we begin to ask the question, Lord, did I learn what I needed to learn in 2007? What were you teaching me this year? What lessons was I supposed to pick up on? You know, there's many things that happen. There's great things and there's not so great things. The scriptures tell us that God is the Father of lights and he gives good gifts to us. And the bad things that happen in our life are generally not brought on from Father God. He gives good gifts. But at the same time, he will use everything in our life to teach us and to shape us. And there are certain lessons that we need to learn, certain experiences that we need to go through in order to graduate on to the next grade or the next level. In 2007, did we pick up on those lessons or did we miss them? What opportunities were lost? What promises were made that were broken? What growth did you experience? What did you learn that you want to carry into 2008? And what did you learn or experience that you need to leave in 2007? So that's the first principle. We need to reflect. We need to reflect. As we do, God can begin to speak to us and show us what he was doing in 2007 and what we need to carry into 2008. Number two in your outline, the second thing I think we need to do after we reflect is we need to release. We need to release. Hebrews 12:1 says this, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." The author of Hebrews reminds us that there is a practice that we have to do of sort of sloughing off and casting aside the weights that somehow seem to bog us down. They get attached to us as we go through life. And just sort of normal humanity is that we grab hold of things and we carry them into the future, and they're things that just weigh us down, and we need to release them. It pictures us as in a race, and the race, of course, of life is not a sprint. It's not a single heat. It's a marathon. It's a long-term race, and we need to ask ourselves, how are we running the race? What was 2007 like in terms of the race, and what do we need to leave behind in 2007 so that we don't carry it into the next year? Romans 13:12 says this, "The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." We pick things up, habits, fears, expectations, and we carry them from year to year, bitternesses and offenses, sin, guilt and shame, things that we need to release so that 2008 we can welcome and greet with fresh expectation. I believe that how you leave is how you enter. However we leave 2007 in these next few days will set us up for entering into the new year. Your past just has a strange way of following you wherever you go. You notice this? There are people that don't understand this concept, that they go through life and because they never deal with the past, they never deal with root issues, what they do is they end up swapping things out in their life. They swap out friends, and they swap out jobs, and they swap out spouses, and they swap out, you fill in the blank. And at the end of the day, what they discover is they are still the same person that they were. That wherever they are, there they are. And if we don't release the things in 2007 that we need to release, then we just end up carrying them into 2008. And why would we expect anything would be any different? Because we'll just carry it with us. So one of the things that we need to do is release these things. Philippians 3 says this, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on." So this year we need to release hurts, false expectations. We need to repent of sin and behavior that we need to stop. We need to release guilt and shame. We need to remember that the scripture says there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And some of us, if we don't deal with the hurt and shame that we feel now, if we don't release it to a loving God who says, listen, you don't have to be shamed. You don't have to carry the guilt. I have forgiven you. If we don't accept that, we will carry it into the next year. So I've put in your bulletin a 3x5 card. It's just a white 3x5 card. If you could pull it out, it's just blank. And what I'd like to do is just encourage you to write down on here, and this is just for you, this is for no one else, write down what you need to release in 2007. Write down what you're going to leave behind. It may be some habits that need to be broken, some behaviors. There's an old Spanish proverb that says, habits are first cobwebs, then cables. And there's something about the way that we live our life that we begin to move into patterns that we are quickly ensnared by. What needs to be broken in your life for 2008? What thought patterns, what belief systems, what behaviors, what hurts do you need to let go of that you don't need to carry into the next year? If you would, just write those down in a little while. At the end of the service, I'll just give us an opportunity to bring these up and lay them on the steps up here, just kind of as a sign to God that, Lord, we're leaving these behind. And we're going to move into 2008 in a new way. Anybody need more time to write? So number one, we need to do what? We need to reflect. Number two, we need to release. The third thing that we need to do, I believe, is that we need to engage. We need to engage. If we do these first two things, reflect and release, and we set up ourselves to engage with our Father God in the way that we need to. Philippians 3:14 says this, I press on toward the goal. Hebrews 6 says this, so come on, let's leave the preschool finger painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. The basic foundational truths are in place, turning your back on salvation by self-help and turning in trust towards God, baptismal instructions, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, God helping us, we'll stay true to all that. But there's so much more. Let's get on with it. And in 2008, I want to say to you, let's get on with it. Put your spiritual life in gear. Wherever you're at today, whatever you are leaving behind, I believe that you and I need to make a decision that 2008, we are going to challenge ourselves to press into our relationship with Christ. That we're going to challenge ourselves to move forward and not backward. That we are going to get in gear and push the throttle down, and we're going to receive from Him everything that He has for us. Challenge yourself to something new this year. Don't be content with just the same old stuff. Don't just say, you know what? I'm going to repeat what happened last year. I've got the same expectations. I've got the same patterns. I like my little box that I live in. Some of us like our box a little too much. Step up to the plate in a new way in 2008. You know, if you're an engaged spouse, an engaged husband, or an engaged wife, if you're an engaged parent, there are certain things that you do. You spend time, you engage with your child or your spouse, and you discover who they are and what their needs are, and you study them, and oftentimes you might read a book or you might educate yourself. There's so many different things that we can do when we see something is important in our life. And if we see those areas are areas of importance, then we spend time developing them. Let me challenge you in 2008, spend time developing your relationship with Christ. Decide that this year I'm going to move into new territory. That this year I'm going to see new things. That I'm not going to put up with the old. I'm going to move into the new. Joshua 7:13 says this, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. Consecrate yourselves. The word consecration is an interesting word. It just means to set something apart for a holy purpose. And so in the Old Testament, what they did is when they dedicated the temple for the worship of God, they took normal everyday items, items that you and I would use in our homes, cups and forks and knives, and they consecrated them. They fabricated them, and then they said, now we're going to consecrate them. And what that meant is that they were going to set them apart to be used only in the temple, only for the worship of Father God. And that setting apart did something special. Those items were then consecrated. They weren't used for the same old thing. They weren't used for everyday stuff. They were used only for holy stuff. And Joshua tells the people of Israel, and I would just echo that today to you and myself standing here in Koinonia today, that we need to consecrate ourselves. That we need to say, you know what? We are going to be set aside for a holy purpose. That 2008... we are going to enter into what God has for us. That in 2008, we are going to do something different. We're going to be set apart for a holy purpose. I think if you make that decision, it's a decision that can change everything. In our home, we are teaching our kids a little verse that I came across. And it just says this, and it's about making decisions and making choices. It says, there's a choice you have to make in everything you do. So keep in mind that in the end, the choice you make makes you. It's cute, right? I'll read it again. You guys didn't think it was that cute. There's a choice you have to make in everything you do. So keep in mind that in the end, the choice you make makes you. And so we're trying to teach our kids that every choice you make forms a character. It forms part of who you are. It molds a future, and it molds a life. And the choices that we make as we enter into the new year mold and shape what 2008 is going to be like. And so I want to say to you, let's make a quality decision this year to set ourselves apart and engage in the purposes that God has for you and I. God has some wonderful things for you if we only will press in. If we all. You still with me? All right. Number one, we need to reflect. Number two, we need to release. Number three, we need to engage. And number four, we need to expect. And I'm excited to tell you that you can expect that we are going to get out early today. I am on a record course here for finishing this sermon quickly. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Isaiah 43 says this, forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. See, God wants to do new things in your life. One of the things that as we posture ourselves for 2008 is I want to just encourage you to expect great things from God. To lift up your eyes and see that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is looking down upon us and he desires to do fresh and new things in your life. Now, this principle of faith and expectancy is not the same principle. I just want to clarify this. This is not the same principle as the one that is popularized right now by the book The Secret. You may have seen or heard on Oprah. The authors of this book interviewed The Secret. And the idea in The Secret is that that your thoughts, whatever you focus on, comes back to you. And the way it works is this, is that your thoughts are like harmonic vibrations that echo out into the universe, and that the universe echoes back to you whatever it is you send out. Now, I think that's an interesting concept. I mean, I like the term harmonic vibrations. But it's wrong, because what it does is it puts you and I, it pictures a universe where you and I are sort of the center of the universe, and that the universe responds to us as if our harmonic vibrations are something special. Now, I know many of you, and some of your harmonic vibrations are special, but a lot of yours are not. See, the universe is not a blank canvas where you send out these messages and they just come back to you. Faith and expectation, what I'm talking about here, is that when you place faith in a living God, when you place faith in a God who is the God of the universe, in a God that is personal and can be known, in a God that is present and is here and is alive and is active, when you place faith in a God like that, your world can change. Because God is real. Because God desires to do new things in your life and in my life. Romans says, if God is for us, who can be against us? The Psalms says that God stores your tears in a bottle. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He is intimately acquainted with you, and he loves you and I. And so as a good father waits for his kids just to ask him so that he can respond, the Father God is waiting and saying, I have new things that I desire to do in your life. All you must do is ask. All you must do is press in. All you must do is step in faith, is expect to see new things. I don't know about you, I want to see new things in 2008. And I believe God will do new things in 2008 if we just press in to him. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That means no matter how great of an imagination you have, no matter how wonderful and large your thoughts are, God will outdo them. So let me say in 2008, lift up your eyes. Expect great things. Believe that God can do something different than he did last year. Challenge yourself. You know, do something new in 2008. Expect that maybe God is real and interested in your life. Expect that he might show up. Expect that when you call, he will answer. I believe if we do that, we set ourselves up for a wonderful, wonderful year. So there's four things we need to do. Number one, we need to reflect. Number two, we need to release. Number three, we need to engage. And number four, we need to expect. What were your successes in 2007? What were your failures? What were your high points and your low points? What do you need to leave behind? What things do you need to say, you know what, Lord, I'm just not going to carry that into next year. I'm not going to do that anymore. And I'm going to break that relationship off that's dragging me down in a way that is not good. I'm going to stop that behavior or that thought pattern or that lifestyle. I'm going to leave it behind in 2007. And I'm going to step up to the plate in a new way. I'm going to take responsibility for this spiritual walk. I'm going to run the race like it's a race, like it can be won, like it matters. I'm going to expect that you're going to do great things. God can do great things. God can do great things. I believe 2008, we haven't even begun to touch the face of God. Would you stand with me this morning? I hope that you've written some things on that card. In just a moment, we're going to pray together, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to come and leave these cards up here on the steps. And what I'll do afterwards is we'll collect these cards, and we'll put them together with the cards from the first service, and we're just going to burn them up. And what I'd like you to do is as you come up in a few moments to lay that card down, I'd just like you to not only do that as an indication that you're leaving that behind, but also as saying to Father God, I'm going to press into what you have in 2008. Not only am I going to leave behind, but I'm going to lay a hold of what you have. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, as we've been talking about a new year and we've been talking about moving into what God has for us, I imagine that in an audience of this size, there might be people here today that have never made a decision ever before to follow Jesus Christ. That you have never become a new creature, as 2 Corinthians talked about, that all things are made new. And I just want to give an opportunity just right now, if you would like to make that decision to be birthed into a new creature in 2008, what a great way to start a new year, to become a new person with a relationship with Christ. If that's you, if you would like that relationship today, if you have never received Christ and said, Lord, you're going to be the Lord and the director of my life today, I just want to give you that opportunity. If you just raise your hand and I will pray for you. Anyone here this morning wants to start the new year? Yes, sir, I see the hand. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Yes. 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 Lord, for these hands that are raised, your word says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that you are the Lord, that we can be saved, that our sins are forgiven. And so, Lord, as these have raised their hands today, God, they're saying to you, Lord, make me a new creature. Lord, be the leader of my life. Take the reins and take the control. Wash me of my sin and make me into a new person. That's their prayer today. If you did pray that prayer in just a few moments, as I have the others come down with the cards, we have a packet we'd love to give to you with some information about your new walk with Christ. For the rest of us, Lord, why don't you just hold your card up for a moment? Just kind of hold it up to Him. Lord, as we hold these cards up this morning, we prepare to release to you those things in 2007 that need to be left behind. Those hurts, those habits, those behaviors, that sin, the wickedness, the lifestyle, whatever it is, Lord, that's written on these cards that are held in the air, Lord, we're saying to you, God, we want to leave these in the past, and we want to embrace the future that you have for us. God, as these commitments are made, I pray that you would embrace your people this week and that you would prepare them to enter into the new year. If I could have the prayer teams come up front right now, just real quickly. And just because of the amount of people in the auditorium and the time, I'm just going to have you bring your cards up and lay them on the steps, if you would, and then you will be dismissed. If you prayed that prayer to receive Christ this morning for the first time, we'd love to give you just a packet that has some information in it.